enforcement. Look, would you state your name again, your name and agency number for the record, please?
Alicia Contreras Laird, 321989.
Thank you, Ms. Laird. You're appearing for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for your revocation herein regarding the one allegation on your warrant. And based on the information we have, you was notified of this hearing back on May 25 of this year. Do you remember that notification, ma'am?
Yes, sir.
And Ms. Rapp, based on that notification, it stated, among other things, that you could obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense to represent you. We don't see one in the room today. May I assume that you're going to represent yourself this afternoon?
Yes, sir.
And you cannot see us today because we're doing this by telephone. There are five board members participating in your hearing at this time. They are the Honorable Mr. Louis Kawanis, the Honorable Mr. David Neal, the Honorable Ms. Pam, I'm getting all mixed up. Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, and my name is C.T. Wright. I'm serving as your board chair, and we also have in the room with us today, Mr. Westby. Mr. Westby is representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer. Ms. Laura and Mr. Westby, do both of you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God and be your sore friend?
Yes, sir.
I do.
And ma'am, as I indicated before, you have one allegation on your warrant. I am going to read it. Once I read it, would you tell me whether it's true or false? And it reads that you are in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 3, as demonstrated by your act of changing your place of residence at Skeller House, 2432 Turner Avenue in Tucson, Arizona, on or about November 17, 2017, without the prior approval of your assigned parole officer. Your whereabouts was unknown, though she was unresponding from supervision. Ma'am, is that true or false?
True.
Thank you. Based upon the admission of Ms. Laird, I move to find that she violated the terms and conditions of supervision, that she was delinquent, that she had or may have lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
A motion by myself, C.T. Wright, seconded by the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse, agreed by the Honorable Mr. Kawanis, the Honorable Mr. Neal, and the Honorable Mr. Johnson. Now we're preparing to go into phase two of your hearing, which is a very important phase of your hearing, because at the end of phase two, the board will make a determination whether to revoke your community supervision or to continue you on supervision. Now we're going to ask at this point that you remain quiet, as we are going to receive some background information on you from the Department of Correction. After we receive this information, we'll be back to you. Mr. Westby, would you give us some background information, please, sir?
On November 8, 2017, Mrs. Lyon was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections. She was arrested May 14, 2018 by Yuma PD. There were no new charges. She was back in DOC custody May 15, 2018, with an adjusted community supervision end date of July 28, 2018, 178 abscondes. Current conviction, 2017, drug paraphernalia, 9 months. She has no prior convictions. This is her first term at DOC. CUIR score is a 2-1, mental health score 3, substance abuse score 2. There's no gang information noted, no prior terms of supervision. She has no disciplinary violations. Other arrests, 1999, controlled substance violation, Texas, felony conviction, probation. Her community risk score is a G1B1.
Thank you so very much, Mr. Westby. Okay, we are back to you, Ms. Watt, and we want to talk to you for a few moments and before the board makes its determination to make its decision. Based on information we have, you were to stay at the Skeller House and when we were released from prison on November 8, 2017, and somehow you left there and just disappeared for a while. So what happened? Why did you leave Skelly House there in Tucson? Phoenix, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, sir. I didn't leave the place. They kicked me out at 8 o'clock at night.
Why would they kick you out, ma'am?
That I didn't have my ID in 48 hours, sir. That's what they told me. That's what Linda told me. And I had just talked to her husband before that afternoon that I was going to pay for my time up till January, because I was ready to go home. You know, I was going to do my Hassle House deal, my programs. I was doing my program and my meetings and stuff, but she called me and my roommate to the office, and she also asked me if I wanted to do a UA, and I told her, well, I just used the restroom, but can you give me 20 minutes? Like, I was sitting in her office, and I agreed to it, and I was going to come out clean, because I haven't been doing drugs, and I have done drugs. So she told me, well, did you get your food stamp card? And I said, yes, ma'am. And she goes, well, you have 48 hours to get your ID, sir, and she told me, you have 15 minutes to get your things and leave the gate. That's what she told me, and that's the honest truth.
Okay, so why didn't you, or maybe you did, why didn't you work with your parole officer to try to get this worked out, whether he was going to remain at Skelly House or without somebody else? Did you work with your parole officer at all November of 2017, did you work with your parole officer?
I called him that night, and I called him for the past 6 nights, for 6 days. And finally, it was 2 nights in, because of the money that I had to pay the rent that I was going to pay for. Then the Skelly House, I used I was $100 because I spent 50 for 2 days in a hotel room with that roommate, who showed me around Phoenix, and I didn't want to be around them. So the second day, my parole never called me back. I left messages, and I can honestly say that I even have my phone where I had left the messages and calls, and I was calling almost every day, and I wouldn't get no answer. I called two numbers, one to the lady, and then to Sean Hayes. And finally, after 2 days, well, because I was scared of my roommate and her friends being taken over my hotel room, I ended up getting a shuttle bus to Yuma, and that's where my family is at. And I was going to go into the Happy House at the Mission.
I'm not here to debate or to do anything. I was not present. I don't know what was going on, just what you were saying and just what they said. You know, the house manager, Zamora, stated that to you, that I think she was talking about you, that you actually terminated your residence at Skelly House effective immediately. She said that's what you told her, but you said that you didn't tell her that you were terminating, that you was going to leave Skelly House.
Sir.
No, sir. Well, that was something that she just decided to put in writing, that you were actually going to leave. So after you left there, then you say you went down to Tucson, and I mean, after 2 or 3 days, how long was it before you went to Tucson, ma'am?
No, I didn't go to Tucson. I went to Yuma.
I went to Yuma, I'm sorry. How long was it before you went to Yuma?
Two days. Like, the second day, that's when I finally went to Yuma on a shuttle bus, and we were going for the Mission.
Now, who are these folks that you were staying with or that you ended up with up here in Phoenix? So who were they? They were just some friends? They were some former...
No, my family, sir.
No, I mean here in Phoenix. You know, you said that when you were at Skelly House, it was not only you, but there was somebody else with you, right?
My roommate, she got kicked out too, and I don't know why.
Well, where was your roommate? I'm saying, where did you find this roommate at?
She was the one, she was staying in Skelly House, Shania or something, I don't even remember her name.
So you had not known her before you got to Skelly House? You didn't know how you were incarcerated, you just found her at Skelly House, and so was she trying to help you, or what was going on with that relationship?
She was trying to help me, but I didn't know her like that. I don't know anybody here in Phoenix, like, you know, personally or anything like that. I went there a week before she came in. And I helped her out. She was my roommate, and she was showing me around Phoenix because, like, she's been there before or been here before, and showing me buses and things, like the meetings and whatnot. And so she was very familiar with Phoenix. So, but she's my roommate. I figured, you know, I'll just kind of go with her. But I don't know. But that's what. I can honestly say that I was kicked out because she said that I didn't have my ID in 48 hours and I had 15 minutes. We both had 15 minutes to get our things from upstairs and go out the gate. And that was honest truth, sir.
So where did you live at that time? Where did you and your roommate go land?
She ended up calling one of her friends, and they gave us a ride to a hotel room. I don't even know where exactly this place was or what, but because I'm not too familiar with Phoenix, so they gave us a ride to a hotel. I think it was a Holiday Inn, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not sure, but that's where we stayed. But she started, inviting people, friends, and people, and I don't know anybody, so okay. I wanted to leave.
Well, let me just ask another question or two. Now, once you got to Yuma, I think on November the 21st, according to information I'm reading, the offender, who was you, stated that you were in Yuma. However, you did not provide your location to your parole officer. Why didn't you provide your location and where your parole officer could have been in contact with you?
I actually told him that I was at the Crossroads Mission. I was going to get myself in the halfway house at the Crossroads Mission. And that's what I said. I was going to another halfway house, and I told him, I said I was going to Yuma. I was on my way to Yuma, but I had been on the phone with the Crossroads, and I was almost there to Yuma. That's what I told him. That's what I said, sir. I'm on my way.
But even on in Yuma, it seemed to me that your contact, your emergency contact down there, and you didn't contact anyone down in Yuma, so no one knew where you was. That seemed to me that you just kind of disappeared. I know you were kind of nervous and all of that, but you just didn't work with them to try to, so that you wouldn't get reincarcerated, ma'am.
Well, yes, sir, that was my mistake. I just thought until 6 days later, he finally, I had before then, I had already also left messages, and I talked to, that was after. 6 days later, that's when he finally called me, and I was already accepted at the halfway house in Crossroads Mission. So, I don't know, I was scared because of those 2 days that I was in the hotel room also, I was being threatened, and I wasn't being able, they were not trying to release me, and I was scared, and I didn't know what to do. So,
who was threatening you at the halfway house?
No, not the halfway house, at the hotel room.
Your former roommate,
yes, sir.
And what, she had some friends at the hotel?
Yes, sir. They started coming in, and I didn't know what to do. I've been scared. I've been through a domestic violence, and I have a record of that, but...
Well, I'm sorry to hear about the domestic violence, but I just wish you had some way, somehow, stayed in contact with your parole officer, who could have helped, and you would not have absconded those many days. But let me just move on. Did you have any employment once you got out of Yuma? Did you find any work at all?
No, sir. No, I didn't, sir. I'm actually not able to work I can work some little work, but I didn't work, sir.
You say you can't work, or do you have an illness or something, the reason you can't work, or you just...
Last year, my ex-boyfriend, who's Mount County, beat me to that I can't really do much because my back is broken, and so is my ribs, and I have problems with my neck and my back.
I'm indeed sorry to hear the domestic violence situation. And this board let you out now, or let you out in, I think, July. What do you plan to do? Where do you plan to go when you're released, ma'am?
I plan to go home to Texas and be with my family.
So your family's in Texas, okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So what are you doing in Arizona now if your family's in Texas?
I was coming to Yuma to meet my mom's side of my family when she passed away. I made her a promise. And I was only going to be there for 2 weeks, and I got in trouble, and I ended up staying longer. And Ever since then, I've been trying to go home.
Yeah, you know, you have a very, very small record here in Arizona. You know, the only thing you had was a drug paraphernalia, and you was there for nine months, and if you had just completed that, you would have been on your way. I mean, you had a small thing down in Texas back all the way back in 1999. That's, but, I mean, your record, but the thing you... My problem with you, ma'am, is I feel for you. I think I might understand what you're saying, but you did abscond for 170 days. If you had not just absconded, I would be one who would be just fighting for you to be released, but you absconded for 170 days. And, you know, when you abscond, the board, not the board, but the parole officer, no real knowing where you are and what you're doing. But at this time, I'm going to yield to other board members who might have some questions for you, ma'am.
Questions,
board members? Questions, don't have any questions for you at this time. However, this is your hearing. I want to give you an opportunity to make a final statement to the board before the board goes into discussion and make a decision without repeating yourself. Anything else you want to tell the board, ma'am?
Just want to say thank you, and my plans are just to go home and be with my family. I lost a brother last week, and I just really want to go home.
I'm really sorry, Mr. Lord, that you lost your brother last week. And please accept our condolences for losing your brother. Okay, anything else you want to tell the board, ma'am?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you. Well, then the board is going into discussion. We're going to ask that you remain quiet while the board is in discussion, but stay on the phone, because you, in Arizona, you can hear everything that we're going to say, because we operate on the open meeting law. The board is in discussion there. This is a very unfortunate situation that Ms. Roy found herself in when she was released. She was there at Scully House, and something just did not work out right. She reflects some information that not quite made you up to the same thing that the manager there, but then even after she had been released, she got tied up with her roommate from the Scully House, and somehow she just didn't stay in contact with her parole officer. As I stated, after 170 days, although she just had a very minor record, in my opinion, that drug paraphernalia, and she's still relatively a young person, just 42 years of age, but I just cannot look over that 170 days that she has spent it. But I'm prepared to listen to other board members before making a motion.
Okay.
I'm going to make a motion to find that Ms. Roy violated terms and conditions of supervision, and based upon information contained in warrant number 2017W4056, as well as testimony provided by Ms. Roy, as well as by the Department of Corrections through Mr. Westby, I'm going to move to revoke her community supervision.
Second.
Agreed.
Agreed.
Motion by myself, C.T. Wright, seconded by the Honorable Mr. Johnson, agreed by the Honorable Mr. Neal, the Honorable Mr. Kamanis, the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse. Ms. Roy, the board has voted unanimously to revoke your community supervision. However, you're going to be released next month. This is June. Next month will be July. About 6 weeks, you're going to be released. At that time, you won't have a parole officer. You'll be on your own. You can go back to Texas with your family, and we hope that you will not get involved in any of your legal activities in the future, so that you can live a clean and productive life. Thank you so much for your participation, and please put the CO3 back on the record, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.